I'm Mo, and I'm an addict.
Amen.
Hi. So, this is in my sponsorship family, we don't say nervous, we say excited. So I am like so excited right now, and but what I know is that Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and what I'm asked to serve, no matter how I feel about it, whether I want to, whether I don't want to, when I'm feeling emotionally connected to the program at the time, I serve and I show up because I am the person that I am today with all of my flaws and all of my assets because of Narcotics Anonymous. And so the topic of this meeting is youth and recovery and am I too young for NA? And the bottom line is that if you believe that you have a drug problem, if you believe that drugs are making your life unmanageable, you are not too young for Narcotics Anonymous. This is a program that is, for me, about feelings, the unmanageability of my feelings, my inability to talk about them, to understand them, to manage them, and to live through them. I felt as if I couldn't live with my emotions, and I used drugs to get away from them. And what I can say is that I first came into the rooms when I was 14, and I came in on a court slip. The first time I was injected with heroin, I was 14. And my road started a long way before that. You are going to, like, flag me down when it's time for me to shut up, right? Okay. Got to know what's going on. So the thing about it is that, like, for me, I believe that I was an addict long before I was an addict. And please don't misunderstand. Like, I am not the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I am not. The basic text, the literature, is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. This convention, everything that gets put on, is the fellowship. So please don't confuse the two. Like, I am not a spokesperson. This is only my experience and my strength and my hope. Like, that's it. And I come from a place where, in my family, right, vulnerability is viewed as a weakness. If you talk about your emotions, if you talk about your feelings, you're weak. And so for a very long time, I grew up with some messages that I had to, you know, unlearn when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, which was a part of being young in NA. And the thing is like, for me, the way that I look at it, you don't have to be considered young in NA, like 20 and under. People, I know for me, like, I was young-minded. And I see 40, 50, and 60-year-olds come in that are young-minded. So it's all, you know what I mean? Like, there's not an age discrimination in NA. There's not. It's all about, because for me, like, I had to come in here and learn how to grow up. And I have grown up in Narcotics Anonymous. When I came in, like I said, I came in on, I was 14. I came in on court slips because when I'm using, I like to take things that aren't mine. And I catch charges. And you know, I'm the kind of addict who gets on probation and doesn't show up to probation and cuts off ankle bracelets. And, you know, my juvenile years were spent in and out of treatment facilities, in and out of juvenile hall, getting high all the way and really just not caring about anyone that I hurt and pretty much destroying everything that I touched. And part of that, and most of it, had to do with the fact that I didn't know how to say I was scared. I didn't know how to say that I didn't feel loved. And I didn't know how to say that no matter what the question was, the answer was that I was not enough. And the way I grew up, you don't talk about that kind of stuff. I grew up with two parents that were, you know, actively using, but to the outside world looked perfectly socially acceptable. And I was taught that you don't talk about that kind of stuff. When you hit the door, everything's fine. And so I was taught to mask up at a very young age. And I didn't know that's what that was until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, like I said, my slope was very fast and very quick. By the time I was 14, I was addicted to heroin. And my last treatment center was right before my 17th birthday. I had used in that treatment center. And I got clean in that treatment center. Because at the end of the day, it was about not feeling. And no matter what, I had to get high. So I'm talking about, like, you know what I mean, the ways and means that we all know. But then being in treatment and still having to go above and beyond. And I reached a point where I just didn't want to do it anymore. And my original, let me clarify, my original, right, hear me, please, was May 5th of 2005. And I was in a large room. I'd getting ready to get the medication from the girl who had cheeked it so that I could snort it. And for whatever reason, my higher power, right, because we have these moments in Narcotics Anonymous where, like, your higher power will speak through you, and my higher power said, no, I'm all right. And the next day was my clean day. And I was a baby, and I was a child, and I got out of that treatment center, and I decided to stay clean. And treatment centers might not be part of your story. That's fine. They don't have to be. For me, they worked because I'm the kind of addict where, like, if I'm not put away, I continue to get high. If I do not have physical consequences, I continue to get high. And the thing is that I hit physical, emotional, and mental bottoms all through my using as a youth. But it still wasn't enough. And when I finally decided to get clean in that treatment facility, I was getting weekend visits, and it's all about willingness, right? We talk about, like, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness in Narcotics Anonymous as the, you know, baseline for our program, and, like, how honest are you willing to get? How open-minded are you? How willing are you? Like, what are you willing to do to stay clean? And, like, that's what I had to ask myself. What was I willing to do to stay clean? Like, did I want to go back to the abandoned house? Did I want to go back to Race Street? You know what I mean? Was I finally willing to, you know what I mean, raise my hand and ask for help and say, I don't know how to do this, because I'm the kind of prideful, egotistical, you don't know me, motherfucker, you know what I mean, that, like, I put up those walls, I put up those masks, I put up those, you know what I mean, don't talk to me, tough female Tony shit, that, like, none of that is real, because, like, let's just talk about the fact that I came in these rooms when I was 17 and I was a scared little girl. Right? And I didn't know how to act, and I would talk to people, and I didn't know where to put my hands, and I was so nervous because, like, all I wanted was to be accepted, and all I wanted was to be loved, because once again, all I ever felt was that I was not enough. And so when I came into these rooms, I started going to meetings, I finally raised my hand, and I began the work of the spiritual nature to, like, clean out all the shit. And I didn't do it right. You heard me say that my original clean date is May 5th. I have two clean dates. Okay? And so, but the thing about it is that when I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, like, I jumped in. I was 17 years old, you know what I mean? I got a home group, I got a sponsor, I got a service commitment, I was at area service, you know, I had H&I, I was hitting meetings all the time. I was, like, fucking Captain Narcotics Anonymous, right? I had the cape, you know, it was about it. But the thing, like, I threw, because I'm an addict, right? I only know how to do things 150%, 150 miles per hour. That's all I know how to do. So, like, I threw myself into it. And I was actually thinking about it on the way up here. I remember when I got out, I still had that ankle bracelet on when I got out of treatment. And I was trying to figure out, like, still how to find, like, have fun in recovery and all this kind of stuff. And, like, of course, my probation officer, like, I had to sign out for every meeting. She wouldn't let me go to the New Year's Eve dance. And I was real mad, right? I was like, maybe if I just get lotion under my ankle bracelet. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying really hard. But still, like, living in that disease thinking, obviously, I wasn't that well yet. And, you know, but the thing is, like I said, like, I started to grow up in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I graduated high school out of that treatment center, and I decided to go to school. And I didn't know how to go to school. I went to a magnet school, and then I got suspended from four subsequent high schools for getting high, getting caught with drugs on me. I didn't know how to go to school. I didn't know how to do anything consistently other than fuck shit up. That's all I knew how to do, and I was good at it, right? But NA started to, like, teach me and, like, live in my life, right? Because once again, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, being open-minded to new ideas, being willing to try something different. So, like, NA said, go every day. Right, so what did I do? I started to apply those principles in my life. So I went to school every day. And they said, show up and do the meeting before the meeting, right? Get to know people. Start to reach out. Get uncomfortable to get comfortable. So what did I do? I transferred that to school. right? I showed up early and I stayed late if I had questions. And lo and behold, I graduated and I got 3 letters after my name. You know, and when I came in, you know, like I said, I was a scared little girl who only wanted to be loved and accepted. And so my shorts were really short and my shirt was really low. And like slowly but surely, women in Narcotics Anonymous grabbed my hands and they said, honey, you know what I mean? And the shorts got a little longer, not much longer. Now that I'm a mom, though, I do the, you know what I mean? I do the fingertip thing. But like they got a little bit longer and the shirt came up a little bit. And I started to walk around with some self-respect. And you know what I mean? My question was, like, I didn't have any self-esteem, right? Because you can't do what you do to get high and have self-esteem. I'm really sorry, but, like, that's some bullshit. For me, you know what I mean? I walked around like I wasn't hurting anybody, but I was caught in the cycle of I got to get high, I got to get high, I got to get high, I got to do this to get high. And then I feel like shit about myself, so I got to get even more high, and it, like, starts the cycle, right? And through that cycle, it destroyed my self-esteem and destroyed my ability to love myself. And I learned how to do that in Narcotics Anonymous. And how did I learn how to do that, right? I started doing things that were esteemable. Shocker, right? You want self-esteem. You do things that are esteemable. From the smallest thing of like holding a door for someone, you know, to like reaching out to the person who raises their hands and says that, you know what I mean, that they need help. It's smiling at somebody instead of mean mugging. You know what I mean? Because I'm notorious for the RBF. Every time. And, but I started to feel that sense of self. I started to, you know, getting an H&I commitment was huge for me. Giving back, you know what I mean, from a world that I had taken so much from because I was a jerk, to put it mildly. You know what I mean? I was a tornado. And I was the addict who, you know, I had a sister who didn't speak to me for 2 years because she told me something about myself and I spit in her face. You know, I'm now the godmother to her daughter. I was in her wedding, and it's all because of growing up in NA and learning how to live in Narcotics Anonymous, because I was reading, you know what I mean, like, I'm sure, whatever, I was reading the basic text on the way up here, and it talks about, like, our old way of thinking got us here, so we have to relearn how to live, we have to relearn how to be productive members of society, because I was so young when I started getting high, I didn't know how to balance a checkbook, I didn't know how to pay bills, I didn't know any of that shit, you know. And NA said, put a dollar in the basket, put a dollar in your savings so you can pay your BGE and it doesn't get cut off. You know, learning life skills. And as I started to grow and as I started to stay, I started to reap the rewards of staying clean. And please don't get it wrong. Like, the only promise is freedom from active addiction. That is all Narcotics Anonymous promises. That's it. They don't promise the family, they don't promise the house, they don't promise the clothes, they don't promise the job, they don't promise the boyfriend, the girlfriend, they don't promise any of that. Like, the only promise from this program is freedom from active addiction. Freedom from the for me, like, that gut-wrenching, dead, empty feeling of, like, I am just a shell of a person. What the fuck have I done to myself? The only promise is freedom from that. However, because I started applying principles and working steps and all that kind of stuff, I started to reap the physical rewards. I had the house, I had the job, I had the relationship, I had the cars, and my family came back into my life. But what I wasn't doing was I wasn't working honest steps. Okay? And the reason that I say that is because I was still so scared of being vulnerable. I was still so scared of someone knowing me and like really getting intimate with another person, right? Really, like, because we look at some of the stuff in our step working guide and like we talk about stuff that like I thought I was gonna take to my grave. You know what I mean? Like, because of Narcotics Anonymous and because of the steps, like, I'm no longer a rape victim, I'm a rape survivor. You know what I mean? Because of Narcotics Anonymous, like, I no longer have to self-injure, I no longer have to self-mutilate. You know, because of the steps and how they apply to my life, like, I found freedom from an active eating disorder. And all of those are outside issues that affect my recovery every day. And it was only because of beginning to work those steps. But the problem was, is I wasn't getting gut level honest. I wasn't getting down to like the dirty, nasty stuff that like we don't want to talk about. And let me just tell you that I switched sponsors every year because if you told me something I didn't like about myself, fuck you. And I moved on. And all of that ultimately led to my relapse. I was clean on my 21st birthday. I want to say I had like 4.5 years clean. I celebrated my 21st birthday. And I looked around, and everything that I had worked so hard for, the house, all that, I was ungrateful. My blessings had become burdens. You know, I had women that were close to me but didn't actually know me. And I continued to live in ego and pride and not have the ability to say, I need help, I am hurting. And because of that, a month later, I ended a 4-year relationship and my relapse process started. And I'm going to read out of this. This is out of Recovery and Relapse in our basic text. And it says, after a member has had some involvement in a fellowship, a relapse may be the jarring experience that brings about a more rigorous application to the program. A relapse, if we survive it, may provide the charge for a demolition process that brings about a stronger recovery. And what I'm here to tell you is that I thought I was different. I was 21 years old, and I looked around, and I said, maybe it was just a phase. Maybe I can do this. And I started going to the clubs, and I got a job as a dancer. Okay? Because I thought I was different. I thought I was stronger than my disease because don't you know who I am? I thought it no longer applied to me. I thought I had worked enough steps. But here's the hit. I only had 14 character defects on my 6th step. I never made amends on my 8th step, and I wasn't working my daily 10th step. We are never forced into relapse. We are given a choice. Relapse is never an accident. Relapse is a sign that we have a reservation in our program. We began to slight our program and leave loopholes in our daily lives, unaware of the pitfalls ahead. We stumbled blindly into the belief that we could make it on our own. We recover, right? It's a we program. My best thinking got me here. My inability to say, I need help, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I don't know how to do this, got me here. And with 5.5 years clean, through going to the clubs, through dating drug dealers, through doing, you know what I mean? Staying clean but living dirty, right? I had opened the door to my disease, and I had opened it so wide that I couldn't shut it. And I got into a situation where I had rededicated myself to my recovery. I had to have a surgery. I manipulated everyone around me so that I had control of my medication. Right? Because I had still kept in contact with the drug dealer. And me acting on 6-step character defects that weren't arrested because I didn't work a thorough 7-step asking God. Right? Because if I'm living in fear, I'm not living in faith and I'm not talking to God. I kept in contact with that drug dealer, so after surgery, I could make some fast money. And sure as shit, it says it, let's see, where is it? When resentment or any other emotional upheaval occurs, failure to practice the steps can result in a relapse. So after that surgery, I went through an immediate emotional upheaval, something that I didn't know how to deal with, something that I had signed up for. I said, I want to do this, but I didn't know how to say, help me. Right? And I had the medication in the drawers next to me, and I got high. And why did I get high? Because I didn't want to feel. And I kept that secret for 90 days. And at the end of that 90 days, it wasn't about getting high. It was about driving my fucking car off a bridge. There is something in our self-destructive personalities that cries for failure. Most of us feel that we do not deserve to succeed. And this is a common theme within addicts. Self-pity is one of the most destructive of defects. It will drain us of all our positive energy. With no real desire to improve our lives or even to live, we just kept going further and further down. And some of us will never make it back. And I am grateful to God every day that I have made it back, because I have buried too many people. And I've got sponsees right now that are getting high. And all I want to do is save them. But we can't save people. They have to save themselves. They have to be willing. And finally, I reached a point where, like, I had had the physical bottoms. I was on my deathbed on my 16th birthday talking about if I'd have been out for 3 more days, they would have found me and I wouldn't have woken up, right? And they would have put me in the back alley because I was getting high with people I didn't know. And my parents would have gotten that phone call, because not only did I steal monetary things, but I stole the emotions, right? Because I stole many sleepless nights from my parents. I stole their peace. And they would have finally gotten that phone call. I have hit those bottoms, but it wasn't until I was so spiritually beaten that I was raw and that I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't lie anymore. I was sitting in the back of meetings, and you know what I mean? That voice in the back of your head, right? Your diseased voice. You're a liar. You're a phony. You're a fake. And my ego, right? But don't you know who you are? You had 5.5 years clean. You're really going to get up and get that fucking key tag? You know what I mean? That ego. And you know what? I was sitting in a meeting, and like the most profound spiritual awakening that I have received so far in Narcotics Anonymous, I was sitting there and I felt God wash over me. And all I knew was I heard in my voice and in my spirit that everything's going to be okay. And I got honest. And that was the jarring experience that brought me back to recovery. And once again, I was young-minded in recovery, because for me, as an addict and having relapsed, I had all the information in my head, but I had no idea how to apply it. So once again, I was a youth in recovery, and I was trying to learn how to live. I was trying to repair all the damage that I did in my relapse process, because trust me, if you encountered me in that year, I fucking hurt you. I had a lot of amends to make for that, and a lot of just living amends by just not being an asshole anymore, right? General rule of thumb, don't be an asshole. Makes life a lot easier, at least for me. And as I started, and I, you know what I mean, and I started my recovery process over, it was humbling. You want to talk about, like, humility. Getting up and getting another key tag. And, but that's what saved my life. And, I had to make choices. I told my sponsor, and she looked at me, and she said, everything has to change. Because that's like one of those cliches around here, like everything has to change. Yes, it does. From the way you walk, to the way you talk, to who you associate with, to where you go, to where you hang out, you know what I mean? To the level of honesty at which you operate within your relationships, everything has to change. And in that moment, I reached a place of willingness, and it talks about it. It says, we pray for willingness and we finally get honest about our mistaken judgments or bad decisions. We tell those that we have harmed that we were to blame and make amends wherever necessary. And that's where my recovery process started. Through humility and through admitting my relapse, I began to recover again. And it talks about this in the We Do Recover. It says, recovery begins with surrender. From that point, each of us is reminded that a day clean is a day won. In Narcotics Anonymous, our attitudes, thoughts, and reactions change. We come to realize that we are not alien and begin to accept who we are. Complete surrender is the key to recovery, and total abstinence is the only thing that has ever worked for us. In our experience, no addict who has completely surrendered to this program has ever failed to find recovery. And what I found was, and it talks about it in the first step, is that surrender means not having to fight anymore. I don't know about you guys, but every day using and every day in my relapse was a fight, and I was fighting myself. You know, because nobody can beat the shit out of me like I can. And it was learning, it was trying to figure out in recovery, again, how to love myself, again, how to forgive myself. And I broke down that foundation, and I started to rebuild. And I started to rebuild with steps 1, 2, and 3. You know, I had to finally admit, and I finally had to step back and say, I can't do this by myself. I'm not strong enough on my own. Like the WE program, I need a sponsor who I'm not just going to drop at a dime. I need a home group that I can stay at and feel safe and feel loved, you know? And I need to stop participating in insanity. You know what I mean? The stereotypical definition, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, but like, how about fucking knowing what's going to happen and doing it anyway? Like, I know I'm not the only member of that club. And You know, and it wasn't until, like, I really found my higher power that I was able to even do any of that. You know, and for me, when I first came into NA, back when I was, like, 14 and still shooting heroin in the bathrooms, you know what I mean, and nodding out in the back of the meetings, people said God, and I said, fuck you. Because, like, if God's going to love me, then why did this, this, and this happen? You know what I mean? I didn't understand that as a young-minded child. And it wasn't until, you know, I started my recovery as an adult that I began to understand that everything that has happened to me in this life, I have played a part in, and it has been used to shape me into the person that I am. And that I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't experienced those things, no matter how traumatic they may or may not have been. You know, and it has led me to a place of peace. You know, when I finally made the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, like, I released the power. You know what I mean? Like, my power is in my choice. And every day I can choose to stay clean, to be happy, and to make good, healthy decisions. And every day I can choose to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. And in that surrender to God, I am given the choice to be happy. And what that also means is that I'm able to let go of anger, resentment, and fear and live in faith. Because I would love to think that I actually control some shit, and I don't. That's all made up. And the biggest lesson in Powerless is my daughter. You know, I have been gifted an amazing life partner, and I have been gifted an amazing daughter and an amazing stepson, and children will teach you powerless real motherfucking quick, and let me tell you, that has karma written all over it. And you know, my first true experience with powerlessness was after she was born, and they whisked her off to the NICU, and they didn't know it was wrong, and I didn't know it was wrong, and all of a sudden me and God were closer than we had ever been. And in that moment, I knew that everything that was given to me, my life, my blessings, I was in control of none of it. And in that moment, I found my faith, and in that moment, I found my strength, and my daughter is healthy and two. And it is only because of Narcotics Anonymous that I am a mother. It is only because of Narcotics Anonymous that I am a good mother, a good partner, a good sponsor, a good sponsee, a good employee, a good all that kind of stuff. Because, like, where I work, I have to have a security clearance, and that's just crazy. But I show up and I go to work every day, you know what I mean? And I treat my patients very well, and I'm respected in my environment, and you know, God has just continued to place good things in my life. And that is because of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's because I've grown up in Narcotics Anonymous. And through, like, replacing and living in the asset and replacing and, you know what I mean, living in the spiritual principle, you know, and applying them in all our affairs, you know, and because of the women in this program that have guided me and loved me, even when I, you know, probably wasn't all that lovable, right? And then also, oftentimes, in spite of myself. And, you know, because nobody can help me like a woman can help me. Nobody can tell me the truth about myself the way a woman can tell the truth to me. And I'm grateful for that. And as I've grown up in Narcotics Anonymous, I've watched my friends grow up and built lasting, lasting relationships. You know, because I wasn't sure what I was going to do when, you know what I mean? I was 17 years old. I was like, who are these people? I'm 17. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I have traveled. I've been to Ireland. I've been all over the country. You know, like I said, I have a job that allows me to have a lot of flexibility. You know, I have my family back in my life. And all with the promise and the gift of the freedom from active addiction. You know, and as long as you stay clean and you have that choice, it's all up for grabs. And What it says, and more will be revealed, is for me about growing up in Narcotics Anonymous. We undergo a vital spiritual experience, and we are changed. On a practical level, changes occur because what is appropriate for one phase of recovery may not be for another. As we grow, we constantly have to let go of what has served its purpose and let God guide us through the current phase with what works here and now. As we become more God-reliant and gain more self-respect, we realize that we don't need to feel inferior or superior to anyone. Our real value is in being ourselves. And as I've grown up in Narcotics Anonymous, I've found myself with all my assets and all my liabilities, only being human and doing the very best that I can. And it's not always perfect, and it's certainly not always pretty, but I am clean. And thanks for letting me share.